it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to the second of our Wisden and Ashes dailies. Australia finished day two at Edgbaston on 311 for 5, 82 runs behind England. I'm Yaz Rana, and with me today is Melinda Farrell. Mel, 290 odd for five across a day sounds quite normal on paper, but there's still so much going on. Broad taking 2-2 in the morning, the noise that Edgbaston made when that happened, Kawaja's 100, Harry Brook coming on first change. There's missed chances for England. Let's start with the man of the day, Usman Khawaja. He's been dropped 7 times by Australia. He's been on quite a few Ashes tours. That's the 7th 100 since the start of last year. To people who haven't really been following his career trajectory, what's happened? He looks like a completely different player to English fans, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great story, isn't it? Uzi thought his career was over, and I think that's perhaps the key to it. Queensland showed a lot of faith in him, making him captain back in Australia at a state level, and he got his opportunity coming back in, and since he has, he's just been playing without burdens, I think. He's kind of accepted that each time might be his last, and he's played with a wonderful freedom. I mean, as you say, the seven centuries, but he's been averaging, his average is now up around 70 since he came back. And it's almost like each time he's conquered a new frontier. At home in Australia, he's been absolutely magnificent. There were lots of critics saying he probably couldn't do it in India, and he showed he could do it in India. This, I think, was the final frontier, because not just the fact that he's been dropped over here a couple of times as well, but that he has a really poor average over here, I think, before this.
I think he passed 60 before?
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a great record for him. And interestingly, in the press conference that he's just done, to which he brought his little daughter, by the way, that was the cutest press conference I think I've ever seen. But he was making the point of saying he honestly doesn't read the media, but he knows that a lot of people have been questioning his record over here and perhaps thinking that, you know, it might come back to bite him again over here when the ball was swinging or seaming, you know. It was like people saying that he couldn't really play spin, or, well, he can't play swing or seam. He proved that as wrong today. And he's just a much more confident, relaxed player. Even the fact that he brought his daughter to the press conference today, he's going to be himself. And he's made that very clear. And I think you saw that in the celebration as well. He's much more his own man now. And although he doesn't have a point to prove, but at the same time, I think he's enjoying showing that he can do it over here, and that he can do it in these conditions against these bowlers.
And there's a box that he's ticked that so many great players haven't actually ticked, like David Warner at the end. I sometimes compare the two of them, similar age. Obviously, Warner's been in the team for much longer, but now Khawaja is the guy who averages more in Test cricket. He's the guy with the Test 100 in England. It's actually quite phenomenal what he's achieving at this stage in his career. And the celebration that you mentioned as well was amazing. The bat throw. I thought initially that it was accidental, but then watching it a few times afterwards, it's definitely deliberate, yeah. Even if it wasn't.
And it just showed how much this particular century meant to him, I think. I mean, I think he loved it in Australia when he came back into the side, and there were some celebrations then, but this, doing it over here. And also, I think he'd been copying it a lot from the crowd, and he did say that he's been getting plenty of people reminding him that his average over here isn't great. So I think all of that together made it just, you know, a little bit more special for him.
I had a lot of fun today just watching Stokes do Stokes things in the field. Obviously, the highlight was Harry Brook coming on in what, the 15th over of the innings, coming on to bowl with the newish ball ahead of Ollie Robinson. But then when Cam Green came out, you had that kind of semicircle of fielders in close on both sides of the wicket, straight to the short ball ploy with head, even persisting with Moeen when Moeen was going at sevens after lunch with mid off and mid on in, and it ultimately gets wickets of ahead. It's just amazing to watch a captain just never lets the game drift. Even when he wants to contain, it feels like such a deliberate decision that I want to contain. It's not, he doesn't just let things happen. He's always seems to be in control. And on a pitch like this that Stuart Broad criticised late in the day, you kind of need that. Like, we were talking earlier today about how maybe the most impressive thing that he's done as captain is every time England play, they take 20 wickets.
Yeah.
And this isn't quite Pakistan-level pitches, but it's not a million miles off.
Well, no. And I mean, that was my favourite. Out of all the absolute bonkers things that have happened in the past couple of days, Harry Brook coming on to bowl so early, it was definitely mine. And not just that, the fact that you had players like Steve Smith and Usman Khawaja paying him so much respect as he trundled in with his dibbly dobblers. I just actually asked Paul Collingwood in the press conference then, was it always the plan to have him come on and bowl early or at Smith? And or was it just like Ben going, okay. You know, doing what he did, that great photo of him there. Try it. And he said, he just laughed and said, yes. He thought that was just Ben, and also that Harry Brook is encouraging Stokes to give him a newer ball because he reckons he could take three or four wickets. His economy rate, absolutely outstanding after three overs. But it just goes to show, you know, last time around in the Ashes over here, but with Smith in particular, there's all that stuff about how can you get through his bubble when he just has so much focus and he's just able to shut everything out. And it kind of felt that he was prepared to do quite unusual things. Mm. It was amazing looking at some of those fields sometimes, and you're just laughing going, this is incredible stuff. But there's obviously a method to it. And it's partly that too. It's imposing yourself on the game and making them always think. And Usman Khawaja actually just said, which I thought was very interesting, asking him about that, he said he can see a lot of Brendan McCullum in it because he's played against Brendan a number of times. And he sort of said, you know, one moment he's got all the field on the leg side, and then next ball he shifts them all to the offside. So I thought that was quite interesting because I haven't actually heard anyone say that. So it'd be quite fascinating to actually find out how much of Ben Stokes' field placements come from discussions with Brendan McCullum and how many are just him, you know, coming up with things himself. Obviously, the bowlers have some stuff to do with it. And he has lots of conversations with the likes of Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson as well.
What do you make of Moeen's performance? He bowled a lot today. So I think he bowled 29 overs. If you add Joe Root's spin in as well, 36 overs of spin on day two of Test Match England. That's not something you see a lot of. In the end, Moeen took two wickets. Could have had more. There was a missed stumping Cameron Green second ball and the drop catch as well. So that was off Joe Root. But he was creating chances. And I thought he did okay, personally.
I thought he bowled well in the first session. In particular, I did it. There are always, I mean, we know what we were going to get. And he said it as well beforehand, that he's never held down an end in his life. And I love that honesty. He bowled some very good balls. And he bowled some that were really easy to get away. And then That ball that he bowled Cameron Green with was just an absolute picture. I've been writing this piece about the Swan to Ponting ball in 2009, and I think it bounced a little bit more, but it was a really similar in the way, you know, the off spinner to the right hand,
yeah,
that just drifts late, uses the footmarks, and lures the batter in. He lured Cam Green into that shot in the similar way to how Swanee lured Ponting in.
Yeah.
So that was really funny. That was just incredible. He's in the team because of balls like that. Mm. And his ability to do that. It did take them a little while to really start going for him, I think, as well. At first, it was a bit of caution. But you saw that as well. It's not just because of those balls that he bowls. It's the fact he should have had Green out early.
Second ball.
Ball. Because he immediately tried to be aggressive towards him. So that's the other flip side of that as well. And I think after that, Green was a little bit more cautious.
Yeah.
Because he could have been gone so early. So, you know, I think he probably did what Ben Stokes expected him to do. And Stokes kept the confidence in him. He kept the field up. And he turned and pointed at Stokes when he got Travis Head out. When he, again, that's a typical thing, went after him, just mostly got inside of the bat, and he pointed straight at Stokes after he took that wicket, because he kept that confidence in him.
I thought he was the only England bowler to take a wicket after lunch. You know, there was barely a chance before the second new ball came via a seamer, and England very quickly used a short ball ploy, and I wonder if England are slightly surprised by the nature of the pitch, how much it's turning early, but also how little there is for the seamers. As I said earlier, Broad was saying that's one of the slowest pitches he's seen in England. And I wonder if they knew it was going to be this slow, whether we would have seen Mark Wood in the side. I know Broad's bowled brilliantly. He's probably been the pick of the seamers. But do you need Broad, Robinson and Anderson on a pitch like this? Probably not.
I mean, the pitch obviously plays a big part in it. And I guess before heading into this test, They wanted Broad because, not just because, but if you know that there's, or you feel that you can get inside the head of Dave Warner really early in an Ashes test, why wouldn't you do it? And it worked. It worked an absolute peach.
And then his new delivery, the away swing, he does the Marnus Labuschagne first ball.
It's amazing because he's telegraphed that, he's talked about it, and then, you know, I'm sure Marnus Labuschagne has seen that as well, the new outswinger. But amazingly, that worked as well. So you could see that with Broad's inclusion. You can also understand why they wouldn't have wanted to leave Jimmy Anderson out in the first test of this Ashes series as well. So I can kind of understand that. And I can kind of understand Ollie Robinson as well, because he's in some ways been bowling better than either of the other two when you look at the early season over here.
Yeah.
It is that point of difference. And we are going to see them all come in. So it certainly wouldn't surprise me if we see Mark Wood come in the next test.
Definitely. I felt quite sorry for Ollie Robinson, because bowling short is not really any of those guys' things, but it's really not Robinson's thing. And he didn't get the new ball in the morning. Brooke had to go before him, and then he didn't get the new ball straight away in the evening as well. So tough day out for him. Lots of questions on the missed chances. I mean, James asked, surely England have to recognise the value of having a world-class keeper and go back to Folkes. That drop-off route would have been poor at club level. I think if you gave England at the start of the day, you're going to create 9 chances, they take that. They would absolutely take that. The no-ball wicket, second ball, the new ball as well, it's a completely different game. If even one of those 3 or 4 chances even get taken. It's hard to criticise Berto too much, because he was absolutely brilliant with the bat yesterday. But Stokes, the whole leadership group, said when the squad was announced, they didn't really consider doing anything funky up the top of the order. Berto was always going to come in. So I think once they'd made that initial decision, you're always going to have this balance of side. And that happens. I thought the stumping chance was quite difficult, but the drop-off route for Kerry, I think, probably was more straightforward.
Yeah, it was. He made a couple of mistakes. And I know that was... It's funny, you know, that because that was such a massive talking point beforehand, and It was partly a massive talking point because of Ben Folks. But where do you fit them both in? And I did notice a lot of people then talking about Zach Crawley. But you look at what Zach Crawley did, and that was exactly what they want him to do as well. So it's a tricky one, and that age-old conundrum about do you want your best wicketkeeper batsman or your best batsman wicketkeeper in there? We'll have to wait and see how it pans out, I think. Because if it hadn't been not just the runs that Johnny Bairstow scored in the first innings, but that partnership that he had with Joe Root was probably the most important one for England in that whole innings, and got them to where they were. So I don't know. We'll have to maybe judge the keeping thing over a longer period of time.
And he did take a really good catch as well.
Fantastic. Absolute screamer. So you have to remember that. You don't know one way or the other what someone else may have done. But at the end of the day, England, I think, have brought him in, and I think they're going to stick. I think they're back him. This is not an England that brings a player in and then drops him. And then why would you drop him when he's done what he's done? And I don't see them dropping Crawley either.
Yeah, I mean, especially after how he batted yesterday. But those 13 no balls across the day, I think, also massively cost England in the end. I mean, it's end of day two, really evenly poised, and I love that. They're playing such different brands of cricket, but here we are 2 days in and there's actually very, very little to separate them.
And that's the thing about this whole thing. It's so hard to know who's on top at so many different points of the game. You'd have to say that the first session was England's session, and then there was the tuffle. There was a tuffle, also known as the tussle. And then that final session today, I think that was definitely Australia's session. So it's just been great. And it is hard to know. It's just hard to know where everything's balanced all the time. Because could come out tomorrow, if England get through, and we could end up basically with both sides being very even after, say, 2.5 days cricket.
Well, we'll have a newish ball tomorrow. Australia 82 runs behind, all to play for with 3 days to go. Mel, cheers for joining me. We'll be back tomorrow after day three here at Edgbaston.
Podcast Network.